afforded comfort to the victim already dead. They had come to the descent lift. As it carried them swiftly downward, Anderton said, "You've probably grasped the basic legalistic drawback to pre-crime methodology. We're taking in individuals who have broken no law." "But they surely will," Whitwer affirmed with conviction. "Happily they don't, because we get them first, before they can commit an act of violence. So the commission of the crime itself is absolute metaphysics. We claim they're culpable. They, on the other hand, eternally claim they're innocent. And in a sense, they are innocent." The lift let them out, and they again paced down a yellow corridor. "In our society, we have no major crimes," Anderton went on. "But we do have a detention camp full of would-be criminals." Doors opened and closed, and they were in an analytical wing. Ahead of them rose impressive banks of equipment, the data receptors and the computing mechanisms that studied and restructured the incoming material. And beyond the machinery sat the three precogs, almost lost to view in the maze of wiring. "There they are," Anderton said dryly. "What do you think of them?" In the gloomy half-darkness, the three idiots sat babbling. Every incoherent utterance, every random syllable was analyzed, compared, reassembled in the form of visual symbols, transcribed on conventional punch cards and ejected into various coded slots. All day long, the idiots babbled, imprisoned in their special high-backed chairs, held in one rigid position by metal bands and bundles of wiring, clamps. Their physical needs were taken care of automatically. They had no spiritual needs. Vegetable-like, they muttered and dozed and existed. Their minds were dull, confused, lost in shadows. But not the shadows of today. The three gibbering, fumbling creatures with their enlarged heads and wasted bodies were contemplating the future. The analytical machinery was recording prophecies, and as the three precog idiots talked, the machinery carefully listened. For the first time, Whitwer's face lost its breezy confidence. A sick, dismayed expression crept into his eyes, a mixture of shame and moral shock. "It's not pleasant," he murmured. "I didn't realize they were so..." He groped in his mind for the right word, gesticulating. "So deformed."
"Deformed and retarded," Anderton instantly agreed, "especially the girl there. Donna is 45 years old, but she looks about 10. The talent absorbs everything. The ESP lobe shrivels the balance of the frontal area. But what do we care? We get their prophecies. They pass on what we need. They don't understand any of it, but we do."
Subdued, Whitwer crossed the room to the machinery. From a slot, he collected a stack of cards. "Are these the names that have come up?" he asked. "Obviously." Frowning, Anderton took the stack from him. "I haven't had a chance to examine them," he explained, impatiently concealing his annoyance. Fascinated, Whitwer watched the machinery pop a fresh card into the now empty slot. It was followed by a second and a third. From the whirring discs came one card after another. "The precogs must see far into the future," Whitwer exclaimed. "They see quite a limited span," Anderton informed him. "1 week or two ahead at the very most. Much of their data is worthless to us, simply not relevant to our line. We pass it on to the appropriate agencies, and they in turn trade data with us. Every important bureau has its cellar of treasured monkeys."
"Monkeys?" Whitwer stared at him uneasily.
"Oh, yes, I understand. See no evil, speak no evil, etc." "Very amusing. Very apt." Automatically, Anderton collected the fresh cards which had been turned up by the spinning machinery. "Some of these names will be totally discarded, and most of the remainder record petty crimes, thefts, income tax evasion, assault, extortion. As I'm sure you know, pre-crime has cut down felonies by 99.8%. We seldom get actual murder or treason. After all, the culprit knows we'll confine him in the detention camp a week before he gets a chance to commit the crime."
"When was the last time an actual murder was committed?" Whitwer asked.
5 years ago," Anderton said, pride in his voice.
"How did it happen?"
"The criminal escaped our teams. We had his name. In fact, we had all the details of the crime, including the victim's name. We knew the exact moment, the location of the planned act of violence. But in spite of us, he was able to carry it out," Anderton shrugged. "After all, we can't get all of them."